والسلام. نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد، فقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون. We ended off with this ayah last week where Allah SWT says very beautifully and very clearly, He is making a request, He's making a plea, and He's also, in this case, making a simple command that believe in what I have revealed. And that is the duty of every believer. Allah is saying, believe in what I have revealed and believe in it in a way that does not create more complexity in your life, more problems in your life, and believe in it in a way that will create benefit for yourself in this world as well as in the hereafter. And وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ, and do not become like the first people that reject. And Allah SWT is talking about as far as the Jews are concerned, because of their certain desire, their certain seeking of pleasures, they refuse to follow the given prophet at that given time. And whenever they did follow anything good, they did it with certain ways of that may be viewed as inappropriate. By virtue of example, they were told not to catch fish. And okay, they will not catch fish. But what they will do is, they'll go and leave the nets out there. So the fish will collect itself in the net, or the net will collect all the fish. And thereafter, they'll go and pick it up. In other words, Allah is saying here, that I have certain rules and regulations in place, and it's for you to follow those rules and regulations. Don't try to skirt around the rules of Allah, and by skirting around, you'll only hurt your faith and the faith of that which and those that are surrounding you, like your children, etc. So that's what Allah is saying. And وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And Allah is saying, and do not trade the verse of Allah. Because once you give up on Allah, or you give up on following Allah the way Allah wants you to follow Allah, then you will start making religion into a transaction. By a simple example, if I'm not mistaken, a long time ago, when I say long time, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there was a fellow that made a deal. Now, you know, we have the moon sighting issue that comes up all the time. And to me, it's not an issue. It's something that's part of the fabric of our structure, wherever you may be. The deal was very simple. If you have Eid on a certain day, so and so will donate. Right? Let's say the guy will give 5,000. Okay, so the choice between Monday and Tuesday. And if you do it on Monday, we'll give you 5,000. Okay, no problem. It so happened that Eid fell on a Monday. Now, it wasn't because they were getting paid or anything. Eid fell on a Monday, and the brother did not give his check. Because he felt, you know what? You did not have the Eid on Monday because I wanted you to have it on Monday. You had it because someone else. Now imagine the brains of this person. And this is a guy that's in Utah. So it says, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, that he was willing to make a purchase for a hadith, purchase for the sake of unity. And this is something that is happening on a worldwide level. Fatwas are being watered down, especially if rulings regarding certain medicines that you can use or not use. There are alternatives. There are substitutes out there. No, it's okay to use the wrong one. Why? Because somebody may have given a grant to a given mufti or been kind to a given mufti, and eventually he gets bought off by certain aspect or not. Same thing regarding banking. Now, for example, we all know that you cannot deal in interest. But how are they getting around that? Okay, no problem. What we will do is we'll include the 10 years of, if you want to take a loan for 10 years, so instead of giving it to you for 10 years, what we will say is, since you have said you want it only for 10 years, let us figure out what the interest will be at the current rate for 10 years, just like going to a non-Muslim bank. Then they will give you a new rate or a new price. So the house is 200,000. They will say, well, if you're going to pay it in 10 years, in 10 years' time, it will be worth 311,000. So right now, the new price is 311,000, and you pay me over 10 years. Now, some will say it's okay, and that's fine. They have their own proofs. And some will say it's not okay. And those that say it's not okay, is they say, in reality, you're doing the same thing. It's like going to a bank out there and getting a fixed interest loan. Another thing is some of these Muslim banks, what they're doing, or Islamically, supposed Islamic-oriented banks, are that they'll tell you, okay, the $200,000 loan, we now made it for you $300,000. However, what we're going to do for you is that if you continue your payments, then your payments are exactly going to be same every month. But if you miss a payment, then we'll have to charge you a penalty. So you must not miss a payment. Now, in Islam, if I owe you something, like for example, with Brother Aliyah, I owe him a pot, right? Or owe him a dish. He can't say, you didn't give it back to me in 2 weeks. Now make sure with that dish, you put an extra spoon. And then after 1 month, if you don't give it to me, make sure there's a pound of sugar with it as well. You can't do that. Whether I give it to him after 1 week, or 1 month, or 1 year, inshallah, before 1 year, then the reality is, he only gets what he gave me. I cannot add on more to that, because it's called riba. So what the Quran is saying, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, that do not sell, and do not, what you call this, trade our verses of the Quran for the little benefit that you are to get out there. So as you've seen, we are doing it on every facet people are trying to do this on every facet of our existence. They're doing it regarding, in some places, as I mentioned, the moon issue. In some cases, the fasting issue. In some cases, they're doing it regarding the loaning issue. In some cases, they're doing it regarding the meat issue. In some cases, they're doing it regarding the hijab issue and things like that. It's just going on and on. So the Quran says, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, do not trade our verses for the small price, for the small benefit of the world. As the scholars have said very beautifully, if you want to do wrong, do wrong. If you want to do wrong, do wrong. But don't use the Quran to do your wrong. Do not use haq to do wrong. Do not use that which is correct to do wrong. وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ, and fear Allah, and fear Allah alone. Allah says thereafter, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ, that do not dress up, do not mix good with bad. Now you know what is good and you know what is bad. I'll give you a simple example. Since we're talking about good and bad, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, and now we're talking about وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Now for example, you get, and this is nothing against the women, you see women in school, for example, they wear scarf, they wear their clothing, and they wear pants. Alhamdulillah, they're wearing that. But now they mix up the good and bad together. They're wearing what is good, but the way in which they wear it is bad. They'll wear a top, but they'll wear it tight. Now, why are you doing that? Alhamdulillah, you're wearing long sleeve, you're wearing a nice Islamic top, Islamic clothing, but then the way they wear it, they'll wear it so tight, it becomes no different from the non-Muslim. Or they'll wear pants, alhamdulillah, mashallah, they'll wear pants, but they'll wear it so tight, that you're scared if she bends down, the whole thing will tear. That's the way it is. So it says, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. You are doing what is good, but you are doing it the way the batil wants you to do it, the way the wrong wants you to do it. And that is not right in Islam. Do right, and do right things the right way. The same thing with guys. They come for Friday, mashallah, good guys. They wear nice top, they wear nice pants. But they'll wear the top so difficult, so tight, and they wear the pants so tight, that when they go in sujood, the whole back shows. Now you know that if your awra shows in salah, your salah becomes what? Batil. If your awra shows, or they'll wear the pants so high, in summer they'll do it when they play basketball, then when they come up, it moves all the way up to here. Then if your pants is going to move so much above the knee, then your awra is showing. Once your awra shows, what happens to your salah? It becomes batil. And so we don't realize this. So the Quran is saying, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ, let good be good, let bad be bad. And don't mix the two together. Don't mix the two together. So do things the right way. I'm not telling people how they must dress, how they must not dress. What we are sharing here is, everything has a position, and let everything remain in its position. وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. This is ayah number 42 in Surah Baqarah. And وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ, and do not conceal that which is true. If you know the truth, say the truth. If you don't know the truth, don't say the truth. And if you know the truth and you don't want to say it to the people nicely. Right now, I don't want to say it because it'll create more problems. There is a place and time to say everything. I'll give you a simple example. Sometimes you go to people's houses to eat. If you're not happy or you got doubt, you got shak, don't eat. But in front of everybody, you don't go, brother, is the food halal? Then they'll say, where did you buy the food from? Why you do that? You don't want to eat, don't eat. Right? That's it. But don't ask people in front of everyone. And that too, sometimes the brother will be with the sheikh for 1 hour alone, no problem. When everybody comes, then he'll ask the sheikh, and he'll ask loudly. Before that, we're talking to the sheikh, he'll talk, respect, nice to sheikh, everything good. But when he asks about halal, he'll ask loudly, so everybody must hear. You know that sheikh is buying meat from Costco. Or, I don't know where, I'm just saying, example. That's not good. That's not good. So it says, don't create problems, number one. And number two, if you know something and you know the guy is buying from Costco or somewhere else that you don't think is halal, I'm not saying Costco is halal or haram. That's not what we're saying here. What we're saying is, then don't embarrass the brother. Don't embarrass the sister. You know, and sometimes people will go to Marriott. They'll have these events. Now you are in Marriott. You're wearing all your fancy clothing. You know, some of the clothing some of the people may wear is not very good. But because everybody is there on the table and the waitress is coming, it's a woman, and they look at it and go, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Then what they'll do is, when the food comes, they say, La hawla wa la quwwata. Sister, then they look at it straight. Is it halal? Sister. They look, and then you don't do things like that. That's not part of deen. And also, you're embarrassing her, and you're also embarrassing now the brothers over there. And now the brothers that want to eat sometimes have to stop eating because now you made them feel bad. You know, sometimes it happens. You know, all your life you're eating wherever you're eating. Now all of a sudden you can't eat because you got to also show that you are a good person or whatever you got to show. So it says here, وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. You know what is truthful, don't conceal it, but at the same time, do it in a good way. Do it in a good way. You don't want to eat, you don't eat. But don't tell others what they must do and not do. And then if you feel they're eating that which is wrong, then you do it in a good way, in a polite way. For example, there was one brother, we went to a restaurant once, and he came to me quietly and said, look, as far as the meat here is concerned, they're buying it from a certain place, everybody else eats from this place, but I know you will not be comfortable eating this meat because it is from a place that we don't really take to be, according to him, they don't take, and he himself saying, I don't take it to be halal as well. So if you feel comfortable eating, eat. If you don't feel comfortable eating the meat, then you can eat something else. He was nice. He pulled me one side. He told me nicely. And thereafter, everybody continued doing what they want to do. Those that wanted to eat, they ate. Those that didn't feel like eating, did not eat. When they asked him, why are you not eating? Referring to him, he said, I just don't feel comfortable eating meat. And this guy, you look at him, he looks very modern, everything. But he used his brains. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. That do your work with hikmah, do your work with wisdom. So وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. When they say don't conceal, it doesn't mean you must shout it out and tell people things that will offend them. There is no need for that. But don't do what somebody did to me once. You know what somebody did to me once, Sheikh? Somebody invited me over to the house. This is what they did. They invited me over. Once, this guy, I don't know what made him invite me, but he invited me. And he bought the meat from some place that generally all of us will say is not allowed to eat. Right. I went there. He made sure he put that meat in my plate. So, Sheikh, you must eat this. Alhamdulillah, it's halal. Okay, fine, no problem. After that, he tells everyone, Sheikh came to my house and he ate, so the meat is halal, everybody must eat. Sheikh eats from that store also. I don't eat from the store. And what he says, I fed him. And he tells everybody, this is exactly where he sat. He sat right over here. The plate was right over there. The pot was over there. I put it in his plate and I saw him eat it. Now, you don't do things like that. You see, now he tricked me so he can tell everybody that place is halal. And I kept quiet. Now, what can I do? You know, it makes me feel bad. I'm not saying whether I ate it or not, but I'm just saying what he did. And you know exactly now what I did or what I did not do. وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. Don't conceal that which is good. But at the same time, do it in a manner that is polite and good towards all. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. and do not conceal that which is truthful. Do not mix good with lies. Do not mix good with evil. Do not mix good with that which you have invented. And do not do so, of course, knowingly. And knowingly, do not conceal that which is haq. So the Quran says, what you see, the key word is wa antum ta'lamun. While you know what is good, don't conceal it. If you don't know, you don't know. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Then Allah will not hold you responsible for that which was beyond your control. Now وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة. Allah says, establish salah in the proper time, in the good time, in the time that it is for salah. Now, in this month, everybody will ask, they say, it's winter. Because it's winter, can we perform the salah before the time? They will sometimes say, I go to work at 6:30 or at 6:15. I go to work at 6:15. The Fajr salah time starts at 6:30. Can I perform it earlier than the salah schedule? General consensus is, when the Quran says, Kitaban mawquta, perform the salah on its appropriate exact time, then that's what you have to follow. See, if there is Quran and there is Hadith, if there is Quran and Hadith, then the first choice always must be given to Quran. If there is Quran and there is Hadith, first choice is given to Quran. Now, if for example, you are traveling, according to some a'imma, if you are traveling, you're traveling in a very dangerous area, you are going from one point to another, and you know you can't stop in between, there's going to be a problem, there are going to be bandits, you may be killed, you may be harmed, if you pray in a certain place, they may hold you in a difficult situation. Right now, due to airport security, sometimes if you pray in the plane, the pilot may get upset and bring the plane down or take the plane down. Then, according to some, before you go onto the plane, even though the salah time has not come, for example, the dhuhr time, then you perform your dhuhr and you do your asr. But generally, the scholars have all agreed that the best thing to do is perform it on its time. Dhuhr salah at the dhuhr salah time. And as far as asr is concerned, if you can't do it in the plane, then you can do it later. In other words, there is more proof to do it after the time than before the time. There is more proof to do it after the time than before the time. Now, this is a technical area, and I'm not giving a clear answer as to what you should do and not do, but we have to be very careful. Very careful means that we should not try to do it without a valid reason. Because the Quran says, كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. They do it on its exact time or on its preferred time. And of course, as far as women are concerned, we must teach them the habit of, inshallah, doing the salah at its awwal waqt, generally. For women, they must try to do the salah for awwal waqt. And as far as men are concerned, they can agree on the time of jama'ah. Because jama'ah is more rewarding for men. For example, sometimes the dhuhr time starts at 12:45, we do it at 2 o'clock. Because we do it at 2 o'clock for a reason. We do it because we all agreed it's the easiest thing. Like the whole year we do it. So if you're at work, it's easy for you. You go to work. If you're a student, you don't have to keep on wondering, did they change the time? They don't change the time. You just come exactly 2 o'clock, you perform your salah, and you go. And as far as the other salah is concerned, we try to change it every 2 weeks. We can change it every week. We can change it every day. But we try to do it every 2 weeks to make it easy for people. So that way, if they go to work, they have something else, they don't have to worry too much. So he says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish your salah and be firm on your salah. And وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. And be observant of your zakah and give your zakah in places where Allah has required for you to give it. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. That Allah SWT has created different places for you to give your zakah, and you must try to find the different places. Don't be lazy and just give it to the masjid or just give it to one person. Look for the poor person. Look for the needy person. Find out the different categories that are eligible for it. Even people that are in charge of zakah, like we have Brother Muhammad Jama and many others that are seniors in the community, it's their also important role for them to look at the seven categories and find the seven categories of people to give it to. Because the day of Qiyamah, people will say, Brother Muhammad Jama, you had a senior position, you influenced so many people, you had so much control over certain things. So what about the guy who was traveling through? Why didn't he get? What about this one lady that came? She loved Islam. She was not a Muslim. She loved Islam. She wanted to become a Muslim. And she just said, give me $20 for gas. Why didn't you assist her? Because she was inclined. She was saying everything positive about Islam. And why did you tell her, no, go from here in a bad tone? Islam will hold you responsible. Allah can hold us if He wants responsible. So therefore, there are seven categories. And we should try to find, in fact, the original ruling of the Shawafi was that you must just not give your zakah just like that. The original ruling for the Shafi'is was, they must look for the seven different categories and go and look for each one and give it. That became very difficult. So now, of course, they became Hanafis. I'm joking. But they became relaxed and they look for poor people and they give it. But the best is the seven, you know, the ayah, innam sadaqa lilfuqara wal masakin, is best to find everyone. But it's best. But of course, if you cannot do it, then it's different. Am I right, Sheikh? We have to try, right? It's hard though.
We try,
inshallah. But it's difficult. But you speak to him, he can do it for you, inshallah. nothing serious, nothing personal. But what I'm saying is, those that are in responsible position have to know what they must fulfill. And it's a very serious thing. So two things now we talk over here. One is salah, and a very important aspect of how to fulfill it. And the second is the seven categories of zakah. Now, as a sideline point, some have eliminated some areas of that, not eliminated it totally, but are saying that two areas we must be very concerned of. Wal amilin. Amilin is the one that is working to collect the zakah. So, for example, I go to collect Sheikh Sakawa's zakah, his zakah, I collect everybody's zakah, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, I collect everybody's, and then I get $200,000 here, and I say, I'm amilin. I want 20%. I take out 40,000, or I take out 20,000 for 100,000. That is not allowed. Generally, and some people are doing that. What they do is, they collect 100,000, they put 20,000 one side, minimum 20%, and then they say, right, from here I got to go to Marriott Hotel and stay the night over there. Then I got to rent out my car, because I came to Utah, and Uncle Taj didn't want to take me to his house, so I got to go to the hotel, and Brother Muhammad Jama didn't invite me to his house, so that's a $50 meal. So I take out $200 for hotel, $50 for food. No. There is a limit. That's not the definition of amilin. Amilin at the time of Sahaba was different. Amilin was, they collect the zakah, and they take out a little bit just to fill the stomach. Just little bit to eat, simple. Not go to fancy, what's fancy restaurants? What, Panda something, I know they have all this. Anyway, not for fancy restaurant, not to stay in Marriott and fancy places. You know, that's not amilin. That is people that are making israf, and that is not allowed at all. So the amilin, because of the corruption, people said enough is enough, and many of the ulama say that amilin category, that generally has to be very, very highly monitored. We cannot say you cannot use it, or we cannot deal with the amilin, or we cannot take out, but we have to be very, very observant, very, very observant of how we utilize it. And therefore, in the best interest of all, the scholars have said, for now, until that can be better monitored, we should not just utilize zakah money. And wal mu'allafati qulubum, and to make people become inclined, or those that are inclined towards Islam, just to give them money like that is not always the best thing, because everyone knows about Islam, how good Muslims are, how bad Muslims are, good about Islam. Therefore, some have said to give them just like that is not very, very good. It's better we give from the sadaqah category. But one cannot take out that part of the ayah. Therefore, what we will say is, if one had to give, then we have to be very, very observant of to who we are giving, how we are giving, and the manner in which it takes place. وَرْقَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And Allah says, make ruku with those that make ruku. Now this means that Allah is talking about salah in the beginning, and he's ending off with ruku. Why is salah being used two times? Because of the following reason. Allah is showing the importance of salah, number one, waqimu salah, and warqa'u ma'ar raki'in is salah with jama'ah. Salah with jama'ah. That's why he said, otherwise he didn't have to say, he could have said, waqimu salah wa atu zakah. I have finished. He says, warqa'u ma'ar raki'in, do it with other people that are also involved in it. He could have said qiyam. Why he said ruku? Because ruku actually means jama'ah, and it means the completion of the first rakat. That means now you're fully in it. Once you make ruku, that's it. You have to continue for the most part, of course. The other aspect is the sujood aspect. But anyway, as far as ruku is concerned, it means you went quite deep into the aspect of salah. So here it's talking about not just salah, but with those that perform salah, and also the importance of performing salah with congregation. Salah with jama'ah. Thereafter Allah says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. That, and here is addressing, of course, the Jewish scholars, and this also applies to you and I, of course, but he's talking about the Jewish scholars who encouraged others to do sometimes not very good things. And Allah SWT is also addressing the Jewish scholars who encourage other Jews to become Muslims. Now, there are two categories here. One group, of course, to tell the people to do good, and they don't do good. Another group amongst them did good, and they also encouraged others to do good as well. Now, Allah is teaching us a lesson, though. And the lesson is, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ. Amar. Amar means commanding. Are you commanding people to do good? Like you tell your child, you know, you mustn't steal, you mustn't lie, you mustn't cheat, you mustn't do wrong things. All this you tell them. And then when you go to work, you sometimes cheat, you sometimes lie. You tell them they must live a halal living, but you sell haram, you sell wrongful things. And then you want them to do. And then you take the wrongful things, you make money, and then you want to give the money to feed your children and grandchildren. I mean, that is bad. That is bad. You know, one is you do wrong. The other is you make money on doing wrong, and then you give it to innocent young grandchildren, and then you wonder why my grandchildren don't want to perform salah, why my grandchildren don't want to be good, why my grandchildren are always angry and fighting, why they're so restless. The Quran is saying, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. You're telling the whole world, you're telling Nas, you're telling all the people, as many people, all the good things, even telling the virtue of doing good things. Brothers, if you do this, you get this reward, you do that, you get that reward, you're doing all this. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. But you yourself are forgetting. You are forgetting to do good yourself. You are forgetting the time of salah. You're forgetting to be with salah with jama'ah. You're forgetting to be with good people. You are forgetting to promote good. You are forgetting to do good transactions. You're forgetting to do halal transactions. You're forgetting to eat halal all the time. Allah says, وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. You are doing all these things. Whereas you are the ones who recite the Kitabullah. Tatlul al-Kitab. You are reciting the book. You are reading the book. You are listening to the book. You are teaching your children the book. You are helping others understanding the book. You are supporting projects regarding the Quran. Allah says, this is not fair. How could you do this? You are commanding good. You are telling people to do everything. But you yourself are doing the exact opposite. Thereafter, Allah says it openly, clearly. Afala taqilun. Allah just asked you the question, don't you have any brains? Don't you have any understanding? I mean, imagine Allah is talking to us so clearly. He's saying all these things, good things you are commanding people. You are even reading the Quran while you are commanding people. But you are forgetting to become a practical user of that which is good. Then Allah says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. What, you don't have any brains? You don't have understanding? You don't understand what you are doing? You don't understand the implications of what you are doing? The implications of how you are going to hurt yourself and those around you. Therefore, men and women have to be very, very careful. You have to be very cautious with your wives. You can't tell them one thing and then do something else. They would lose respect for you. You know, one advice was given to me when I got settled down, and the advice was this. Please, please, Don't ever in your family tell your wife or your children to perform salah, but you yourself don't perform salah. Don't ever tell them to eat halal, but you go buy anything and you start eating haram yourself. Don't ever do that. Because one day they're going to say, he's telling me to do good, but look at him. He's telling me to eat halal, but I went in the car and I found a McDonald's packet. Or he's telling me, it happens, you know, sometimes you get hungry and things like that. So what are you going to do? That's the advice was given. One person gave me that advice. If you're going to tell your family something, then better do it yourself. Because if you are not going to do it, and your children are going to see you doing, you saying one thing and doing something else, then it's going to hurt you, hurt them, and hurt your future. Therefore, this ayah applies to every one of us in some capacity or the other. And Allah says thereafter, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Aren't you of understanding? Don't you understand the consequences of what you are doing and not doing? So inshallah, we will make amal on these few ayah, inshallah, today that we have been through. Allah says, believe in the kitab that was revealed. Do not become amongst those that, turn their backs. أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِي. Don't become like the first rejectors. And who were the first rejectors? For example, amongst the Jews, some will say also later, the Christians, of course, they were before us. So they're in the category of before us in the sense of first, but the first here, according to many, are those that we were referring to the Jews. And again, we're not saying this because we're against the Jews. Allah is telling us how not to become like the people that could have been very, very good, but they chose not to do that. Allah says they chose not to do good. Of course, many of them do good in today's time. We're not denying that. But at the same time, what we are saying is that Allah wanted more for them. He wanted them to follow Haqq in the way in which we know it. And Allah says, don't become like them, where you reject. And وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. For a few dollars, don't mess your reputation. For a few dollars, don't sell your iman. For a few dollars, don't sell your true values. And this is the message we take to our children. I mean, the politicians right now all have a message. I'm going to win, they're all saying, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Everybody has a message. That message is for one thing, to get into the White House. White House is how many years? 4 years, maximum 8 years, and you're pretty much done. Here Allah says, do not sell the verses, because by selling them, you're going to get done, in the sense that you're going to affect your iman, you're going to affect your akhirah. Don't become amongst those individuals. Thereafter Allah says, don't mix up good with bad. Let good be good, bad is bad, and do not conceal the truth. But does not mean that you must just shout out the truth, like how I give examples. Don't embarrass people. Don't conceal the truth. Share the truth, but do it in a good way. And this is the way of udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah, by using wisdom. And thereafter Allah says, establish salah, give zakah in the proper places, find poor people to fulfill your zakah, and be with those that perform their salah with jama'ah as much as possible. And those that are at home, they cannot come to the masjid, at least get your children together to perform salah. At least get the grandchildren. Sometimes you can't come because it's raining or because it's snowing. No problem. It happens. Then at least get them together. Get the family together. Your children, your daughters. And show them the value of salah. And that'd be a good thing, inshallah. And then he said, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ. Don't just command others. Allah says, are you commanding people to do good, but you are forgetting to do good yourself? Don't just command. Command and also do good yourself, and do not forget to do good yourself, especially the good that you have told others to do. And while you are reading the Quran, while you reciting the Quran, remember that let yourself do good to the point where the Quran will become something that will intercede for you on the day of Qiyamah. Allah says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. In other words, be of those, inshallah, that have understanding. And by understanding here, we are referring to following that which is haq and abstaining from that which is wrongful in nature. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us. Today we have finished ayah number 44. May Allah guide us and keep us on the track of ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim at all times. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.